The Lord be with you. In June, if you can remember that far back, we began to tell the story of how God made a promise to Abraham and Sarah that their children would be more numerous than the stars in the sky and that they would live in the land that God promised to them. And over the past few months, we have told chapter by chapter about how God has fulfilled that promise, how God raised up leaders like Joseph and Moses and Joshua to take what started off as an elderly couple and make them into a numerous people. First, prospering in Egypt, then enslaved there, then led into freedom, and at last arriving at the promised land where we heard this past Sunday Joshua calling upon the people to commit themselves once more to the Lord as they receive what had been promised to them. And today the story continues. It continues with one more leader, a leader who is different from all the ones that have come before her. A woman named Deborah. And certainly Deborah being a woman sets her off as a handful of women who lead God's people in the Bible. But she is also unique in that she is a judge. And judges weren't people who were given official titles. They didn't inherit the role. They didn't go to a special school for the job. Judges were people who were so respected by their community, respected because of their integrity and respected because of their faith, that whenever there was a crisis or confusion or conflict, people would come to the judge and ask them to guide them. Deborah was such a judge. And so was Betty Whitmore. Many of you knew Betty Whitmore, and for the few of you who don't, Betty Whitmore died this past week at the age of 91. And while Betty was never a pastor, while she was never on staff here at the church, Betty was one of the great leaders of Faith Lutheran. She was a great leader because people respected her, respected the way she lived her life with integrity and passion for the Lord and for God's children. And so they made her a leader in our midst. The one official title, perhaps, that Betty is most famous for is the fact that she was the treasurer for women's ministry. And there is some irony that on this day that we remember Betty, we also hear Jesus tell the parable of the talents, a parable which appears to be about taking a talent, which was a large sum of money in Jesus' day, and spending it so that you can accumulate more. And Betty was notorious for the fact that she was very tight-fisted when it came to spending the women's ministry's money. But she grew up in the Depression. She knew that it was important to take careful care of the resources you had, and when other women would say, let's spend it all on this good cause, she'd say, no, you better hold on to it because we want to make sure we always have enough for the ministry that's needed. But the parable of the talents is about much more than how we use our money. Because Jesus tells this parable in the context of preparing his disciples to not see him for a while between the time when he ascends into heaven and his second coming. And Jesus is telling the disciples that when he leaves, he is going to entrust to them his greatest wealth. And Jesus' wealth is not money. Jesus' wealth is the children of God. Jesus' wealth is relationships of love and faith, and he is commanding his disciples to use those relationships faithfully and joyously and abundantly. And that's what Deborah does in the book of Judges. You see, unlike every other judge in the book of Judges, when there is conflict, when a foreign king comes with 900 chariots of iron, which were basically the tanks of the ancient world, all the other judges in the book of Judges, they will lead armies themselves. But Deborah doesn't. You see, Deborah has a secret weapon that's different from all the other judges. Deborah's secret weapon is the word of the Lord, for she is also a prophet. And she uses the word of God not to make herself great, but to build up other leaders in Israel. When the people call out to God for help against this foreign king and his general with 900 chariots of iron, the Lord calls upon Deborah. But Deborah calls upon a man named Barak. And she says, Barak, you lead the people of Israel to victory against these 900 chariots and their commander. But she warns Barak. She says, even as God is calling him to do this great deed, God will not give Barak the glory. God will give the glory to a woman, for it is into a woman's hand that God will deliver the enemy of Israel. You see, Deborah knows that the greatest investment that she can make is in relationships with other people. The greatest investment she can make is to build up other leaders. And that's what Betty knew as well. Many of the women in Faith Lutheran know Betty because at some point she sat down with them and said, I want you to be involved in women's ministry. And Betty didn't care how. She didn't care if you were going to bake food for a bake sale that would raise money or if you were going to go off to a conference somewhere on the other side of the country with other Lutherans to learn better how to be a faithful disciple of Jesus and bring back that knowledge to empower the other women here at Faith. She just wanted to make sure you were involved. Joanne Welch told me this past week of how when she first started coming here to Faith, Betty said, you need to get involved in women's ministry. And Joanne said, I don't really know if I have any particular gifts or skills for leadership. And Betty found out that Joanne liked books and history. And so Betty said, Joanne, we have great need for you. Women's ministry needs a historian. There's no one else who can be our historian. The position's empty. And Joanne said, well, that's wonderful. I'm glad to serve. How is it that no one else can fill the position? It's because the position didn't exist until that very moment. Betty knew this woman had a call for ministry in God's church, and just because the church hadn't created a position for her, that wasn't going to let Betty stop the working of the Holy Spirit. So yes, many of us in this congregation know how Betty raised up women as leaders here, but many of us may not know the way that Betty raised up 6 girls to be women of leadership, raised up 6 daughters. When her husband, their father, died when the girls were still young. From that day on, Betty became both mother and father to her 6 daughters. And it wasn't enough to her to ensure that they had a roof over their head or a home-cooked dinner with dessert that she would make every night for them. She wanted to make sure they had every possible opportunity to be the best version of themselves that God had made them to be. She wanted to make sure that they could have a quality education, go to good schools, set off on the careers that they were passionate about. And so every night, starting at 11 p.m. and going until 7 a.m., Betty would work as a nurse. She worked first caring for children with polio, and then would go on to become a nurse at probation ranches for boys and girls, eventually even becoming an ambulance paramedic. She did what she needed to do to ensure the future of her girls, not just financially, but in their lives, because after working from 11 p.m. to 7 a.m., after working all night, she would get up the next morning and she would be there for every PTA meeting, for every piano lesson, for every Girl Scout troop. She did this not just for her own girls. She loved every girl. She taught Sunday school. And one of her daughters told me that when the brownies came over one day to learn from Betty how to bake bread, she just didn't give them an example showing them how she would do it. She prepared for each little girl their own pile of dough, their own little baking pan. And she sat and talked and listened to each and every one of those little girls and taught them how to knead dough. And she sent them home not just with the pan that they could bake for themselves, but with a slice of bread that she had timed to come out fresh from the oven right when they arrived. Because you see, Betty understood that to raise up leaders is not just to give them a task and send them off. It's to work alongside them and encourage them on their mission. Deborah understands that as well in the book of Judges. When Deborah calls upon Barak to lead the people of Israel against this foreign king and his 900 chariots, Barak says, "I will do it if you have called upon me to." But then Barak says, "But I need you by my side." Deborah may not have been a warrior, but Barak knew she was a woman of God, powerful in her faith, and he did not trust himself to battle unless he had her encouragement. And so Deborah agrees, and together they go off to face Israel's enemies. And so too, Betty knew that as she raised up leaders in this community, she also needed to roll up her sleeves and to work alongside them. She would stitch together the entire face of quilts and then hand them off to the quilters to sew the bottom and stuff them. She would lead the women in preparing the luncheons for funerals. And when the ladies would divvy up who was going to bring what dish to the luncheon, Betty would always bring an extra dish or two just in case someone couldn't provide that week. And despite the fact that she was in her late 80s, Judy Strzok tells me that after 7 hours in the kitchen, Judy would have to forcibly evict Betty, telling her, "There are women decades younger than you here to do this work. Let them do this work. Go rest." But Betty was there by their side. She didn't want anyone to serve the Lord alone. And perhaps most importantly, she understood that to encourage people to be leaders, leaders need someone to listen to them. Someone who could be a caring ear. If you ever needed someone to listen to you as you shared your troubles, if you ever needed someone who could hear your confession without judgment, Betty was there for you. And she was perhaps most famously there for Martha Adams, her neighbor who for many years would go on walks together with Betty around the neighborhood. And as they went through life's tragedies and life's joy, they would share with one another until the day came when Martha could no longer walk. And when Martha could no longer walk and was homebound, Betty would still remember her. Betty would come to church and she would be sure to take home a bulletin and an extra bundle of cookies, letting everyone know that she wasn't taking these for herself. She was going to share them. Thank you very much. And she would take that bulletin and those cookies back to Martha so that Martha knew that she was still a part of this congregation, even if she couldn't physically be here. And when Martha reached the point where she could no longer even speak, Betty would still be there by her side, speaking to her, updating her on the latest news at church, reading her the scriptures and praying with her. Because Betty knew that every single one of God's daughters was precious, and she wanted to make sure that every single one of her sisters in faith knew how much they were loved. She raised up leaders. And Deborah and Barak, they have one more leader to raise up also. Because as Deborah and Barak go and they face those 900 chariots, Barak leads the troops into battle with Deborah's blessing, and he scatters the chariots. But the commander of those chariots hops off his chariot and he flees. But it's not Barak who catches him. For as Deborah prophesied, God would give glory to a woman by placing that commander into a woman's hands, but not into Deborah's. No, into a woman by the name of Jael, a woman who is ordinary in every way except for the fact that she trusted into the Lord and she too had a secret weapon, the secret weapon of hospitality. Because you see, when this enemy commander is fleeing, he sees a tent in the distance, and so he runs to it and he sees that this tent just has a single woman by herself, and he figures, this will be safe. I can hide here. So he tells the woman, "Let me into your tent. Let me have a space where I can stay." And Jael says, sure, why not? Come on in. I'll make you up a bed. I'll tuck you in. And when the enemy commander asks for a drink of water, she says, I can do even better. I got some delicious fresh goat's milk here. Drink up, relax, take a nap. And the enemy commander does. And then Jael takes a tent peg and a hammer and goes and bashes in his head. Now, it's a kind of a gruesome story, but the point of the story is this point of the parable of the talents, which is to say that God gives to each of us a gift. And God gives us this gift for the purpose of God's ministry. Jael had a gift for hospitality. And when the enemy commander of God's people showed up at her tent, she could have said, ah, I have nothing that can address this problem. I might as well just bury my gift in the ground. But Jael said, no, I can use my gift of hospitality to set God's people free and strengthen the people of God. And so she did. Betty's secret weapon was also hospitality. She was constantly inviting me over to her house to have tea and cookies with her. And while she told me it would just be tea and cookies, I would show up and she would say, ah, but I also baked you this pumpkin pie and also this pecan pie. And there's also this chocolate cake. And she wouldn't let me go home until I had eaten a slice of each and gotten a to-go bag as well. Anytime my mom would come into town, Betty would insist on inviting my mother over as well. She did that not just for me and my family, but for the women of faith. She loved to host women's circles in her home, Bible studies, where women could dig deep into the word of the Lord and be nourished by fellowship with one another. And though she would say, ah, you know, it's just going to be a simple light snacks, that sort of thing, she would roll out quiches and deviled eggs. She would put forth a feast. She would do so that the women of faith would feel comfortable and at ease, so that they could set aside their other worries and dig deep into what the Holy Spirit was offering them in that moment. For these past few months, we have heard the story of how God fulfills a promise to give to one elderly couple a family more numerous than the sands in the desert and give them a home to call their own. We cease to tell that story this Sunday. Today is the culmination of that story. The people Israel have made it to the promised land, and they have claimed it as their own. But they will still have many struggles in the centuries to come to hold on to that land. But we won't continue telling the story one chapter after the next. Because for all the struggles that they will face, the lesson they need to learn on how to overcome those struggles is taught to them by Deborah. That they need to invest their greatest treasure, their faith and their love, in one another to build each other up as leaders, and then to work alongside the leaders that they have raised up, and that they are to treat every gift that God gives them as a treasure not to be hidden, but to be spent so that God's people may increase in blessings. This is the lesson that God's people will learn time and time again. This is the lesson that Jesus will teach as he calls us into God's kingdom. It is the lesson that Betty lived. And I will say, for as much as we would tease her about her unwillingness to spend money from the women's ministry, all that changed when the women's ministry said, Betty, what if we use the money that we raised for scholarships? What if we use this money to invest in the next generation? When Betty heard that idea, she said, yes, that's what we need to do with the money. Because when we invest in the future, what God has given us multiplies. So may we this day be generous with what God has entrusted to us. May we remember the example of Deborah, the example of Betty Whitmore. May we raise up leaders and work beside them. May we use every gift we have for God's service. Amen.